I'm speaking here with Bill Bullard, who is CEO for RCAF USA, and we've got an issue that I think has really sparked a lot of discussion, and it's definitely being looked at from a variety of angles by a lot of different groups, and that's this proposed rulemaking by GPSA. And from the standpoint of RCAF looking at this thing, how would you describe the way you're looking at it and what the proposed rulemaking would mean for the industry?
Well, this rulemaking is the first time in nearly 90 years that the USDA has gone forward to promulgate regulations to actually implement the nearly 90-year-old Packers and Stockyards Act. In other words, Congress passed an act about 90 years ago, but the agency never followed through to promulgate rules in order to properly enforce and administer that act. These rules are absolutely essential in order to restore competition to the marketplace that has eroded over the past several decades because we have ignored our antitrust laws, we've ignored the Packers and Stockyards Act, and as a result, we've allowed the meatpacking industry to consolidate to unprecedented levels, and they are able to exercise buying power in the marketplace, and they have done so to the detriment of the industry. Our industry is shrinking in terms of the number of cattle producers, shrinking in terms of our herd size. It's now the smallest since the 50s. And even in the face of growing beef consumption here in the United States, we have had stagnant beef production in our industry. Those are indicators of an unhealthy industry, an industry in crisis, and this rule is the first step in restoring competition so independent cattle producers can continue to have the opportunity to operate economically viable businesses. It is a critical rule, and the meat packers are literally coming unglued because they recognize they can make more money today than they can if they are required to comply fully with the nearly 90-year-old Packers and Stockyards Act, and that's why we see all the controversy out in the countryside over this rule.
It seems like there is some concern about not so much what I think the original intent of the rulemaking was supposed to be, but more on some of the components of it that may have some real unintended consequences. How do you feel about that in terms of the fact that it may look good on the surface, but if you really dig into it, is this really going to have that kind of impact that you're hoping?
Well, I think the rule certainly will have the impact, and that's why the opponents to the rule, primarily the meat packers, are fighting against it as hard as they can and trying to convince producers that they should help the meat packers kill this rule. What this rule does is it addresses the four major affronts to competition. First, it addresses the lack of accountability on the part of dominant meat packers. What the meat packers want is for producers to be unable to redress any harms that the meat packers may cause unless the producers can also show that the entire industry was harmed by a meat packer's actions. So this rule makes it clear that a producer need only show that the packer violated the Packers and Stockyards Act and does not also need to show that whatever the packer did hurt his neighbors as well as the entire industry. The other important facet of this rule is it addresses the lack of documentation in the industry that actually preempts the USDA from ever determining if the packers are in compliance with the law. And that's what they're really screaming about, because this rule requires documentations, justification for different prices paid, justification for different contract terms offered, justification for different premiums and discounts. This is absolutely necessary to ensure that a producer of high-quality cattle is not being treated unfairly, unjustly, and discriminated against by the packers who may be paying a preferred feedlot premiums or not discounting for lesser quality cattle. This ensures there's a level playing field in the industry. The other thing this rule does is addresses the lack of transparency in the marketplace by providing that the meat packers must provide sample contracts so producers can make an informed decision as to what meat packer is most likely to be purchasing the quality and type of cattle that producer is raising. And the fourth issue is it addresses the inattention to ongoing anti-competitive practices. We had auction yards in South Dakota and Oregon that had three cow bull packers who each had their own buyer. Then one day, only one buyer filled the seat that used to be held by three buyers. And so the auction yard owners asked the buyers where their competitors were, and they said, well, the meat packers got together and decided to be more efficient if they just hired me to buy cattle for all three meat packers. That eliminated competition in those auction yards for cows and bulls. And so this rule addresses that ongoing known anti-competitive practice. This rule does exactly what it is intended to do, and that is to provide transparency, accountability, and provide USDA with sufficient documentation to ensure the meat packers are, in fact, complying with the Packers and Stockyards Act, and they simply do not want to do it. Again, that's why we're seeing scare tactics by the wheelbarrow full in this industry right now.
Well, when you talk about some of the things that it would do, one of the things that I think I've heard is that if they are going to be required to provide documentation and justification, they're just not going to do it and just offer one price for all. Do you think that potentially could happen? And if so, how what impact would that have on the industry?
Well, the meat packers certainly are not going to abandon these marketing agreements. And that's because when they put these together, they convince the producers, and the producers work with them to develop premiums and discounts based on quality traits that the packers said was necessary to ensure they're sending a consistent quality product that the consumer wants. The packers claim this has been profitable. The producers claim it's been profitable. The packers are not going to give that up simply because they must maintain the documentation that allowed them to reach this conclusion in the first place. I think it is incomprehensible that the packers would forgo what they claim to be a very profitable venture simply because they have to maintain the records to justify it, which records they must already be maintaining in order to know that there is value or there is not value based on certain quality characteristics. So that is simply a scare tactic. All the rule requires is for records and justification to be kept, and the packers already maintain that justification simply in the normal course of their businesses.
We're going to have some interesting conversations when we get to Fort Collins, Colorado this week. I will definitely be there. I am planning to attend your public forum, which you're having there the day before the USDA DOJ workshop. Just a quick question on that, because it stood out to me, and you've got on your program there a representative from Food and Water Watch. This is an organization that I have looked into in the past. They're kind of connected with some very extremist environmental and animal rights groups, and have been backers of things like the Meatrix series, which is this YouTube-type campaign to really, I think, cause some real injury to the livestock industry. I guess I'm just curious about the relationship and why you would be having them part of your forum.
Well, we've worked with that group for a number of years. In fact, we worked side by side with them to pass this country of origin labeling law that took us 10 years to get implemented and is still not implemented right. And they are an organization that recognizes the harm that has already accrued to the U.S. hog industry when everyone stood silent and allowed the meat packers to essentially replace competition with their control, which essentially wiped out 90% of all the hog producers in the past 30 years and created these huge hog production facilities that have created legitimate environmental concerns in some areas. We don't want the cattle industry to go in the direction the hog industry did, which is why this rule is so important. And Food and Water Watch recognizes that and has been a significant supporter of this issue, along with about 70 or 80 other organizations that we have reached out to who are concerned about the direction of rural America, concerned that as a result of not enforcing our antitrust laws and the Packers and Stockyards Act, we have essentially eliminated economic opportunities for independent agricultural businesses and all the mainstream businesses that support agriculture. So we need a fundamental change in this industry, and Food and Water Watch has been supportive of the specific positions that our members, the farmers and ranchers who raise cattle, have proposed and who are and the resolutions are fighting for.
Interesting. Anything before we close you might just say to livestock cattle producers in particular in terms of this issue and what they maybe should do in terms of taking advantage of this period that we've got?
Well, we think we have a very narrow window of time to reverse the current course of this industry, to begin restoring opportunities for young people to get in our industry. They won't do that if we stay on this course. And that's why we believe this Friday, August 27th workshop held by the Department of Justice and USDA could well be the most important day in the history of rural America, because it can mark a beginning to strike off in a new course, one that recognizes that we must have open and competitive markets in order for our independent producers to remain profitable. We're encouraging 25,000 rural Americans to show up at Fort Collins at 8 o'clock in the morning to show USDA, the Department of Justice, and all the world that this is an extremely important issue, that we must restore competition to the U.S. cattle industry.
All right. Well, really do appreciate Bill Bullard here. He is CEO for RCAF USA. I'm Chuck Zimmer.